Good morning to each one here. Glad to have you with us this morning as we prepare to enter into the worship of Almighty God. It's great to be able to gather on these Sunday mornings, and we appreciate the attendance of each one that's here. Those present in our auditorium, good to see you. And though I can't see you, those worshiping with us online, we're happy to have you join us too. As I say, it's great to get together. We get a spiritual uplift from worshiping with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And of course, our aim is to honor God. So we hope that each one, whether here or streaming our services, will be an active participant to join in the prayers, to celebrate the Lord's Supper when that time comes, to be attentive to the reading of Scripture, to the message that will be delivered from God's Word. All these things are ways that we honor God, and we hope that you'll join in them and you will be uplifted. So let's begin now, and glory to God in this service.
The Lord thy God.
Our next two hymns are number 96, I Stand in Awe, immediately followed by 97, I Sing Praises. Next hymn is number 97, I Sing Praises. And then immediately following that, after our prayer, will be number 18, Faithful Love. Number 97.
I sing praises to your name.
Thank you.
to our Father in prayer.
If you'll pray with me, please. Our grateful Heavenly Father, we do sing praises to your name this morning. Father, we look upon you for strength. We look upon you for grace. Lord, in these troubling times that we find ourselves, we ask, Father, that you would grant us the wisdom that we need to make the proper decisions to move forward daily. There are so many things, Lord, that we can use to influence us these days. So many things that are out there to pull us away from you, to divert our gaze. We see things in the media. We see things in entertainment. We get busy with work. We get busy in our daily just lives. And during this time, God, it is so easy to remove our gaze from you. It's so easy to start relying upon our own wisdom and our own strength and finding, God, that we fall short. Lord, at times like this, we need you most of all. Help us, Lord, to always put you first. Because, God, when our focus is on you, we can do anything. Help us, Father, as we try to be leaders in our community. We try to be leaders of our household. We look, God, to be an example of who you are and who you need us to be. Father, we ask that the light that we shed is one that shines far and reaches many people. Help us, God, to do more in your image. Father, in the times that we do fall short, we pray, God, that you will forgive us. And God, there are so many times when people seem to be against us, and it is so easy, Lord, to hang on to that and to want to hold grudges, to be angry, to lash out. And that's not who you've designed us to be, Lord. Help us, God, to have a servant's heart. Help us to be more forgiving of our neighbors. God, please grant us the wisdom so when we are faced with challenges, we use the knowledge that we have of you to make the best decisions possible. Help us to be an outreach to our community, Lord. There are so many people out there in need, so many people who have strayed, so many people who are lost. And it is at times like this, Lord, that you need us to be your people here. And we ask, God, that we can fill that role dutifully. Father, please open our hearts today so we can hear the message that we need to hear and take it to heart and apply that to our lives. Father, open our eyes so that we can see the paths that you've laid out before us. And allow us, Lord, to be able to look behind us and see the ways in which you have guided us. Father, help us to spend more time with you in prayer. Help us be more silent. Help us be more still. So when our focus is on you, we can feel your presence, we can hear your word. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We thank you, God, for your grace. It is in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.
If you are using the hymnal this morning, the invitation hymn will be 919. 919, if you would like to mark that. Before the scripture reading and the Lord's Supper, we will sing number 18, Faithful Love. Let's stand again as we sing, please.
Faithful love, holding down, my blood poured down, makes me whole, save. be seated, please.
Now is a good time for children to leave and go to children's training class, just out the doors and to the right. This morning, if you will, be turning with me to Revelations chapter 3. We'll be picking up here on a chapter where in the book John has written from the Isle of Patmos while being exiled. And in following chapter 2, he's written a letter to four churches. And in chapter 3, he opens up with the final three. And here we are in verse 14, and he's writing to the church at Laodicea. Revelations 3:14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you either cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered and need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent.
I'm noticing more and more electric vehicles on the road nowadays. For a while, it was just now and then. Now it's pretty common, and I understand there may be a time in the future where most of us will be driving those kind of cars. And I'm sure you know that if you do have an electric vehicle or will have one, now and then you get to stop and plug it in. You got to recharge it. And it's not enough to drive close to a recharging station. You actually have to plug in for it to have that effect. And the point I'm trying to make is that we're much like that. As we go through life, we kind of run low on our energy, our spiritual energy. And so it's important that we plug in and renew that spiritual fervor that we had. And that's why God calls us together as a family in Christ once a week and then often as the elders call for us to come together. These are times that benefit us. There are times that give us energy, that give us joy, that gives us love. And we need those things. And so we thank God for this opportunity today for us to again come together and to be built up by focusing on Him and also to be built up by being with each other. What a joy it is to see each of you here with us today. We've got a good number, and we're thankful that you have made it with us. We have also many that are joining us online, as John has already mentioned, and we're thankful that you are joining us in this way. And some will join us later by means of a recorded video, and we're just always grateful that you are here with us, either in person or virtually. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock, and at that time we're going to be talking about a question that may arise in your mind when you read the passage. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? Can I grieve the Holy Spirit? And that's a warning that Paul gives us, and we want to understand, what does that mean? And how can I avoid grieving the Holy Spirit? I really hope you'll come out and join us for that. Personally, that would be best. And so please come and let's worship God together again at 6 o'clock. It'll be indoors. I think the chance of rain is very high, but we'll get outside again when the weather is nice. And we're just, again, thankful for this time. So good to have you with us. If you're visiting with us, we're really glad you've come our way. And come anytime you can. And if we can be of assistance to you, let us know. We'll do anything that we can possibly do. Now let's get our Bibles out. I hope you've got a Bible, either a printed one, or maybe it's one on your phone or tablet that you have at hand. Let's get those going. Because I want you to join me in looking at these passages. I don't want you to take my word for anything. Now, I assure you, I try to be really careful when I put these lessons together, and I try to give you nothing but the word of God, but let's work together and make sure that what we're seeing really is in the word of God, because that's the way we know. Everything is good because God has said this. So let's do that now as we get ready to get into this lesson. I'll first mention an occasion that happened several years ago. I got a call early one morning, and a lady who was a member of the congregation here had developed a pulmonary embolism, a blood clot in her lung. And as you probably know, that's a very dangerous thing. In her case, she was unconscious, and the medical authorities felt like it was just a matter of time. And so we went, we sat for a while, prayed, of course, and yet nothing improved. This continued throughout the day. It continued, in fact, for several days. And every time you would see this person, there was no response. You would speak to her, you would pray with her, there was no response. But then eventually, you began seeing some signs. And eventually, she fully recovered. In fact, has had another child since that time, which I consider to be amazing. And the point is that sometimes people can revive spiritually, physically. And you've known people like that, people that the medical authorities would say, well, there's no hope for this person. They are, you know, there's just no way they're going to pull through this. And yet they do. And often because we have prayed for that, God's power has the final word. But what about spiritually? What about spiritually? Could that happen? Sometimes we sing a song that says, my eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold. And then the question is asked, what can be done with an old heart like mine? And you might think, well, it's too late. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. And if that dog is dying, there's no way to revive it. Is that really the case? The song is more hopeful. What does God's word say about it? Is it possible for our faith to deteriorate and die? Is it possible for God to revive us if we're at that point? We've been talking this year about back to the Bible, always good advice. And so this morning, let's focus on that idea of back to the Bible when it comes to the question of revival, spiritual revival. And we're going to find the Bible has a lot to say. First of all, let's ask that question again. Can faith deteriorate and age? For several years, I've made it a habit of going to my primary care physician for an annual checkup, and in later years, it becomes a semi-annual checkup, and I think it's important. I've been doing that, and although my health generally is excellent, yet I know, and my doctor's never said this, but I know she realizes it too, you're going to die one day, Tim. I mean, that's just the way it is. Unless the Lord comes first, that's what we're all coming to. But our faith, does it have to be that way? Does our faith have to follow that same path of deterioration and aging and eventual death? Well, it is possible. And let me show you from the Bible that's the case. Let's go, for example, to Matthew chapter 22. Verses 4 and 5. Matthew 22, verses 4 and 5. Here Jesus is telling the parable of the great feast. You may remember a king was giving a feast in honor of his son who was getting married, and invitations had already been sent out. now the time had come. And so the king sends out his servants, and they say, everything is ready now, come. And yet those who were invited did not come. Well, then in verses 4 and 5, Matthew 22, verses 4 and 5, again, he sent other servants saying, tell those who were invited, see, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention. They paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. Now notice in that parable that it wasn't bad things they were doing. It wasn't like they were saying, okay, we've got to go rob somebody. We have plans to murder somebody. It wasn't that. They were going to their farm. They were going to their business. The bad part was they paid no attention. I mean, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Don't they realize what a great opportunity they have? And yet they are diverted. They are distracted by other things. And so their faith in this invitation apparently has grown cold. At first, they may have said, look, I got an invitation to the king's feast. But when the time came, their enthusiasm was not there. You could see much the same idea in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, now we're not looking at a parable. This is a direct statement about what can happen with us. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, where the writer who's trying to encourage the Christians to hang in there, don't give up, don't turn away, he says in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. He had been talking about how the Lord's wrath was going to be revealed against those who did not obey him. And he says, how are we going to escape, we who are Christians, if we what? If we blaspheme the name of the Lord? If we say, I no longer believe in him? That's not what he says. He says, if we neglect such a great salvation. That's something any of us can do. And I'll confess, I have done it at times in my life. It's not like I had bad intentions. I just let other things get in the way. And in the process, I neglected my great salvation. What a dangerous thing that can be. And then in the same letter, go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and look with me now at verses 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Can faith deteriorate and age and die? He says in Hebrews 5, verse 11, about this we have much to say. He was talking about Melchizedek, which to him was a very important subject, but he said, we're not able to talk about it with you. Why not? About this we have much to say. It is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. You have become. Now that suggests they weren't always that way. At one time they were interested. They said, tell me more. I want to learn more about Christ. And yet now what? They have become dull of hearing. And so what is the effect of that? For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You'd need milk, not solid food. And so the effect was they're not growing. They're not developing into the disciples the Lord wanted them to be. And why? The root cause, they had become dull of hearing. Not interested anymore. I mean, at first I was really into this. I really looked forward to the times when I could learn the will of God. Now, not so much. I got other things going on in my life. Don't bother me right now. And so again, yes, faith can age and even die. Revelation chapter 2. Let's go to Revelation. We learned earlier that this is a place where Christ dictates letters to seven churches in the region of Asia. Here is the letter to the church at Ephesus. Earl read this, read the one from chapter 3. But listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. He says to the church at Ephesus, after acknowledging you're very busy about things, you're doing the right things, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. You've abandoned the love you had at first. And that suggests a cooling off. A cooling off of the love that they had for the Lord. Now, you can keep on doing religious things, but how's your faith? How's your personal faith in the Lord? Is it still strong and vibrant? Or have you abandoned that love as the church at Ephesus did? And now let's go to chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, where he is addressing the church at Laodicea. This is part of the reading Earl read for us earlier. Revelation 3, and look at verses 15 and 16. He says, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, the problem is not that they weren't hot. I mean, that would be great. Using that image, it would mean that they're on fire for the Lord. But he's saying, you're neither. It's not like you've walked away from me completely. You've not denied your faith. You're just not living it. You are bland. You are lukewarm. And that's not acceptable to the Lord. And so again, you see, the idea is, yeah, and why would Jesus do these things? I mean, it sounds like Jesus is really running them down, right? Go to verse 19 again of Revelation 3. Revelation 3 and verse 19, hear these words. He says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. It's not that Jesus enjoys speaking harshly to us, but he will. In an attempt to get us to wake up and to realize where we're at, because he loves us. That's why he rebukes us. He wants to give us the chance to repent and to be restored. And so as we look at ourselves, we need to ask the question, what about my faith? We've seen in these passages, faith can deteriorate over time. It can age. It can actually die. And so what now? I would suggest 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. And you know this passage. We talk about it quite a bit. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail to meet the test. And so Paul is there saying, it's important that we periodically, in fact, often, stop and examine ourselves. And how do we do that? Well, one way that we offer every Lord's Day is the Lord's Supper. That is a way of examining ourselves, testing ourselves to see if we're still fervent for the Lord. But may I also suggest these things that are simple to do. In fact, as I read this list of five things that I've come up with, ask yourself, is this me? For example, number one, do I spend time in the Bible on a regular basis? Do I spend time in the Bible on a regular basis? What does that say about my faith? How often do I pray to the Father above? How often do I pray to him? Again, this is a way of examining ourselves and finding out what is the status of my faith. Number three, is gathering with other Christians for Bible study and worship a joy or is it a chore? What does that say about my faith? How I answer that question. Number four, do I serve the needs of others because of the example of Jesus? Am I looking for opportunities to serve? And number five, what would a spiritual thermometer show? Would it show that I'm hot? Or that I'm cold for the Lord, or maybe just lukewarm. And we know the answers to these questions if we dare to ask them honestly, and it will reveal to us where our faith may be at this moment. But let's move on to a more optimistic subject, and that is, can my faith be revived? Let's say that we've done that quick examination on ourselves, and the thermometer says, Tim, you're way down there. You need to do something to get this back up. What can I do? Is it possible for faith to be revived? In Ezekiel 37, there's a very interesting vision that is given there. And there we find Ezekiel being led out to a valley. And this is no ordinary valley. It is a valley filled with bones. I'm talking about people's bones. It seems that there had been a battle fought there some time ago. It's been a while because now the bones are lying there. They are dry. That's how they're described. That means there's no marrow in them. They've been picked clean by the animals that come along and prey on that kind of thing. And so you would say, wow, this is way beyond hope. And God asked the prophet there, can these bones live? I mean, they're bones that are separated, they're dry. It's been a while since there was any flesh or muscles on them. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel does exactly the right thing. He says, you know, O Lord, you know. Well, let's read verses 4 and 5 of that account. Ezekiel 37, verses 4 and 5. Then the Lord said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. Now, these are bones that are beyond any hope of life. They're dry. They're picked clean. And yet God says, prophesy over those bones, the word of the Lord, and you will see that they will live again. And Ezekiel did just that. And it describes how they began assembling themselves, and there was sinew that came upon them, and flesh came upon them, and they stood on their feet, and it was a great army. The power of God, that's absolutely what it is. There's nothing else that could do something like that. Now, why did God reveal that? It was to teach a lesson to Judah. Judah, which was being carried away into captivity, that even though you're being taken away from your home, you will again live. Do you think there's any other application to that vision? I think so. I think it says that people can be revived even though their spiritual faith may have dried, may not be there. It's on life support now. It's in a dangerous position. And let's look at that now. Let's talk about new life, and notice, I'm going to say here, it's from God's Word. We're going back to the Bible, remember? That's our theme for the year, and this is where revival comes from. Think again about what we saw in that passage we read. When did the bones begin to come together again? When Ezekiel prophesied the word of the Lord. It wasn't until then. And then when that happened, they started coming together, and this amazing work was done. It's the same way with us. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. One of my favorite passages in the Bible because it says a lot about God. Isaiah 57 and verse 15, where the prophet there says, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up. And we always look up in the sky when we think about God, don't we? As if maybe we can catch a glimpse of him. It's not that he's in the sky, it's just that he's high above us. He's far above us, but that's not the end of the story. Isaiah 57, 15. Thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly. And to revive the heart of the contrite. God says, I will revive people. Though they may have reached a very low state, though they may feel very lifeless, I will revive them if they are humble and lowly. That means I'm receptive to God. I know how much I need his help, and I'm humbling myself before him, hoping that he will revive me. James talks in this same vein in James chapter 4, verse 10. I know you know this verse. We sing it often. James chapter 4 and verse 10, where James there says simply, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. And there again, the idea of revival. I've reached a very low point, Lord. I feel lifeless. I feel like I'm of no value to you anymore. And yet God says, I dwell with those who are humble, who are contrite in heart. I will revive them. God wants to revive us, and he's willing to revive us. In John chapter 5, verse 21, looking especially at Jesus now, John chapter 5 and verse 21, Jesus made this statement about his ability to restore life. Now, he's talking here about restoring life to a physical body. He did it at least three times that we know of in the scriptures, and doubtless there were other times we don't know about. But John chapter 5 and verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, revives them, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. So Jesus has this power as well of restoring life, and even though the bones may be dry and separated from one another, he can bring us together again. He can restore our spirits and give us that life. But what is the condition? Well, I suggest we go to chapter 8 now of John. John chapter 8 and verse 43, and listen to what he says there about how life, how understanding is attained. John chapter 8 and verse 43, he's talking to some of his disciples, and he says, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. Does that ever describe us? Do we ever look upon Bible study as a boring process? As something we'd rather not do? I don't really care about learning from the Bible. I want to do other things. Could that passage refer to us? This is why you don't understand what I'm saying. You cannot bear to hear my word. And so again, it's an openness to the word of God, the word of Christ. That's the key to restoring life in bones that are now dry and lifeless. And that makes sense based on what we find in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Do you realize what this book is? I mean, it's more than just an old book. It is an old book. I'm not going to deny that. The newest parts of this Bible are like 2,000 years old. But listen to what it says about this book. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. It is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And do you get that? What that says is, this is not just a book with words printed on paper. This is the word of God. It's living, it's active. When I take time to read it and meditate on what I have read, it does something to me. It revives me if I'm receiving it openly and humbly. I need this book. I need to come to this book often. Otherwise, my faith is going to get old and dry and eventually die. In John chapter 6, John chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 68. We're told just before this that some of those who had been following Jesus said, who can listen to this? I mean, we don't agree with what Jesus is saying. We're leaving him. We're just turning away from him. And there are those people that will turn away. But the apostles were still there with Jesus. And he says, are you also going to turn away? Are you going to leave? And Peter gives that answer, which is just wonderful. Listen to it. John chapter 6 and verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I wish we had those words, don't you? But wait, we do. Right here in this book, we have the words of eternal life. And if we're interested in living eternally, if we're interested in keeping our spirits alive and vibrant and thriving, all we need to do is keep coming to this book. Keep coming to this book, keep coming and gathering with others who likewise have that love for the word, who discuss it with each other, who have understanding because others are sharing with them their understanding of it. You want to keep your faith alive and growing? Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. That's the key. I suspect some Christians today, maybe some that are gathered in this building right now, some that are watching perhaps, are on spiritual life support. I never like to hear when I hear that somebody at the hospital is now on life support. That means things have gotten really, really tenuous. They're right on the edge. It could go either way. I don't like to hear that. But there are Christians that are on spiritual life support. Could that be me? Could that be you? I mean, seriously. Let's ask ourselves. And as we're thinking about that, let me read again the words of Matthew 22, verses 4 and 5 that we read earlier, the parable of the great feast, because I think this is where we're at now. Again, he sent other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off. We're all going to go away in just a matter of minutes. Are we paying attention before we leave? Not to the preacher. That doesn't matter whether you pay attention to me or not. Are we paying attention to the word, to the plea of God through Jesus Christ? Come home. And if you're not yet a Christian, Christ died for you just as much as he died for anybody. That blood was shed to cleanse your sins, and we pray that you'll take advantage of that. How? Do you believe his word? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God enough that you're going to turn away from sin and repent of that sin and confess him before others beginning today and then say, I will be baptized. That's the command of Jesus. I will be baptized because I want to be saved. I want to have a home in heaven with him forever. It's simple to do. It takes moments to do. Let us help you do it. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Or is your faith growing cold? Is your heart hardening? It's not too late. If you have that feeling, maybe I should do something, then act on it before the feeling is gone. Come home and repent of sin, pray for forgiveness and for revival, and God will bless you. If we can help, come as we stand and sing.
seated, please.
As we begin considering the sacrifice of Jesus, we will sing 376.
Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 42, and this is when Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives before he was going to be delivered to Pilate, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." The Bible teaches that Jesus was tempted in all the ways we are. Every day we're tempted whether to do the Father's will or not. Obviously, Jesus was telling us that he had a choice, and he wished the cup could pass from him. Obviously, what he was about to suffer, he didn't want to go through. No one would. And if you look in verse 44, it says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." I've actually read of documented cases where people actually sweated blood. Generally, they have to be under great duress, such as a prisoner being sentenced to die. And as their execution approaches, they would actually sweat blood. Jesus was truly never a prisoner. I'm sure the Romans thought he was a prisoner. I'm sure that the religious leaders thought he was a prisoner. And everyone watching, because why would someone suffer what he was suffering if he was not under their control? But he had told us that he could have called legions of angels at any time. He could have decided, "Father, this isn't worth it. These people don't deserve me suffering what I'm going through." And he would have been right. But thankfully, he didn't do that, because without his sacrifice, we would have never had access to God's grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that your Son was willing to fulfill your will and go through what he did so that we would have an avenue of salvation. As we partake of this emblem that represents your Son's body, I pray that we'll do so in a worthy manner. In your Son Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray again. Heavenly Father, now as we partake of the fruit of the vine, which represents your precious Son's blood that was shed for our sins, I pray, Heavenly Father, we'll do so in a manner that's uplifting to us. In your Son Jesus' name, amen. Now at this time, I'll have a prayer concerning the collection. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we lift up our prayers before you, we give you thanks for the ability you've given us, our health, to earn a living, to provide for our families. Heavenly Father, as we now return a portion of what you've blessed us with, I pray that we'll always remember that we're only returned a portion of what was already yours. And Heavenly Father, I pray your wisdom upon those men that are given the duty of deciding how these funds are used, that they'll do so in a manner that's best uplifts your kingdom here on earth. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.
Let's close with a prayer and announcements. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for this opportunity we've had to gather and blend our voices in praise of you. And in all things, we pray that you have found it to be pleasing to you. And we pray that you will help us as we go about our separate lives this week, that we may stay upon the path of righteousness that Christ has set forth for us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Here's some announcements that you should be aware of. Saturday, September 23rd, there will be a come and go 90th birthday celebration for Bob Patton in the Fellowship Hall of our building. That'll be from 2 until 4 p.m. Bob's family, who are hosting this celebration, invite all of Bob's friends to stop by, and they add, no gifts, please. If you're interested in helping with Lads to Leaders, there are orange volunteer sheets in the foyer. Please return the completed forms to Josh Johnson or place them on the return trays placed at the end of each end of the foyer. Be aware of these upcoming events at Central. Digging Deep Ladies Bible Discussion Group will meet today from 4 to 5:30. In the children's training room. Workbooks are $17.50. If you would like a workbook, see Debbie Ingram. Retired Men's Breakfast is this Tuesday, September 12th at 9 a.m. Please sign the list on the announcements board if you can come. Central's Redbirds will meet on Tuesday, September 12th at 11 a.m. at Harbor House. And the Dorcas Group will meet Wednesday, September 13th at 1. Prayer list, remember these. Carrie Hutchinson is scheduled for hip replacement surgery today at Johnson City Medical Center after falling at her home on Friday. It would be best for there to be no visitors for now. Jim Bob Moore is scheduled to undergo carotid artery surgery on Tuesday. Carlene Bannister has been diagnosed with pneumonia. She is now on medication. Charlotte Chapman continues to struggle with pneumonia. She reported on Saturday that she has begun a second round of antibiotics and steroids. A close relative of one of our members was the victim of a traumatic crime last week and is now dealing with difficult issues as a result. Let's be sure and keep this one in prayer also. Sheila and David Frakes are both recovering from COVID. Sheila has especially had a difficult time. Kevin Helton, a friend of Amy Norris, is hospitalized in Knoxville with sepsis and is very ill. Sympathy is extended to the friends and family of Zelda Crafton. That's the mother of Cheryl Whitted. Zelda passed away on Wednesday. Sympathy is also extended to the friends and family of Gary Phillips, the brother of Kathy Torgerson and son-in-law of Gene Arrowwood. Gary passed away on Thursday evening after battling cancer for the last few months. And finally, Paul Hamilton would appreciate our prayers for an upcoming knee surgery that he has scheduled. Paul also wanted to express thankfulness for prayers that he received before he had his back surgery earlier. I'll leave you with 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hope to see you tonight at 6:00. We're dismissed.